we'll answer some Hey Joe questions here a little bit. Jonathan Ryan is the producer of this program, and he likes to sing.
Yeah.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Well, obviously the Canes beat the Bruins, so I could have sung about the Bruins today, but we're moving on from Boston. We're kind of tired of them, so I decided instead to sing about, thanks to Julio's help, one of New York Rangers' best players. We've got a couple of days to kind of get to know him better. We played him 4 times this year. We're 3-1, but Mika Zibanejad is one of their best players. And so, you know,
you're going to like this one. You
got to know where these players are. Just like the perfection line from Boston, you got to know about him.
When you're feeling in your body, you found somebody who makes you a little anxious going into round two. But you're still confident, you just don't really know how you're feeling about that man's excessive flow. Been there, heard it, that cool sound. After playing him, this is what I found. I know he may be 3-1, but it'll be tough to extend this run, you know, cause Zibin is Zibin and Jack. When his line is out, heads up, they'll fly right past.
Oh, man.
Zibin is Zibin and Jack. If you miss the hair, we don't care, we'll put him in a glass. See Zibin and Jad, he'll be out with line one. You'll be glad when you know his shift is done. Zibin and Jad, he'll meet Tony and Jake, and he'll be surprised how hard it is to skate Zibin and Jad.
Oh, man. You know, I didn't think you were gonna be able to top the Marchand.
Yeah,
Gaston or Garcon means boy.
Nice one.
But wow,
it's a good one, Rant.
That was very well done.
I appreciate that.
Good one.
That was
very
fun.
Well done.
I had lots of options with Zibanejad. I mean, do we keep on winning?
I was gonna say you could do a Zibanejad every day.
We got to brainstorm a little. Adam Fox, he was the one the Canes drafted. He didn't want to play for the Canes.
Yeah.
Jack Johnson.
I was going to say, there's like the Jack Johnson school of not wanting to play for the Hurricanes organization. Canes are done.
We'll get there with Adam Fox.
Let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the door.
All righty, boys. First up, and Hey Joe from Welchy on Twitter. Hey Joe, did the Hurricanes learn any lessons from the Boston series about falling into the bully trap?
I think that's specific to Boston. It's something that Brad Marchand, specifically himself, excels at. We saw some dirty play in Game 7. The NHL doled out some fines for that, one for an elbow, another for one of those, you know, slew foot. I mean, that's just dangerous play. And what's interesting is that in the third period alone, the refs just let him play. I mean, that was a physical up and down the ice third period, and they just let things go. So if you're a Hurricanes fan that's upset at calls not being called, well, it also went the other way, too. They just weren't calling anything. I'm actually surprised at one point where they had to delay a game for a puck going over the glass that the league just went, no, don't worry about that one either. I mean, because that's the way things were going in the third period of this game. Here's what I found interesting, and I have to be fair about these things. So after Game 4 in Boston, I got mad at the Carolina Hurricanes for giving into and losing their composure against the Bruins.
In that game.
It wasn't so much that they lost, it's how they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony DeAngelo was emblematic of the entire team. It wasn't just about Tony DeAngelo, but he had 2 big moments, including the one at the end where he tossed a stick at Brad Marchand as he was trying to score that empty netter, right? Do you know who suddenly found themselves being the cooler head? Who suddenly found himself getting Vincent Trocheck to back off and not escalate things further? Tony DeAngelo. It could have gone in a completely different direction for Tony DeAngelo based on what we've seen in the past. It didn't. Actually, cooler heads prevailed. If that's the lesson, that you had your blow-up moment, and then you've applied the lesson to not do that again and actually find yourself being a peacemaker, you know what? Good on Tony DeAngelo for his on-ice production. I'll be curious to see if the Rangers try to do anything to kind of get to Tony DeAngelo, given that he was essentially kicked off that team.
You also mentioned the history between Boston and the Canes in the postseason.
Yes.
Three times in 4 years. That's a lot of seeing a team, particularly when the players don't really change. The main players, but you know, obviously for Boston, yes, they lost Chara, they lost Tukarask, but those top three guys were the same and had the Canes' number. I think with the Rangers, you know, technically they've never played the Rangers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Even though
the bubble technically, yeah.
I still don't understand what the NHL is trying to prove on that one. But obviously there is some history there from the bubble. But do you know who was mostly embarrassed in those playoffs was Tony DeAngelo when he was playing for the New York Rangers and Sebastian Aho turned him into a poster. So I think there's a different dynamic there between Boston and New York. I also think New York is more inclined to play the same style as the Canes. They're a fast team. They do have a great top line, but they have some more depth than what Boston has shown. They also had the best goalie in the regular season in the NHL. In Shesterkin. Mm-hmm. So, now, he was not great against Pittsburgh. He was good enough, but he wasn't dominant. He wasn't Andrei Vasilevsky. During the regular season, he was outstanding. So, it's going to be interesting to see which version of Shesterkin the Rangers have. Also, remember, the Rangers clawed back in that series against Pittsburgh. Difficult to get rid of. Now, they use the home ice, though, in that Pittsburgh series. They don't have the home ice this time around. So, I think there are just different dynamics in play. You also heard Rod Brendamore say this at the beginning of the playoffs. The first round of the playoffs is always the most physical because that's when teams are at their most healthy.
Yeah.
The second round, as we've seen, has tended to lighten up, particularly with this version of the Canes. You go back, second round they played, they have that just drag out in 19 against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Seven games, just back and forth.
Went on the road.
Murder ball against each other. Second round, they get the Islanders in here, made quick work of them, and it was a styles make fights kind of deal, right? Then the third round, they get swept by Boston. Last year, you see them struggle with Nashville, but ultimately beat Nashville, then play a back-and-forth series with Tampa, but Vasilevsky ends up being the difference in that series. It was a more wide-open series, though. I think you'll see this series be more wide-open, which, of course, favors the Hurricanes. And, you know, again, that home ice for the Canes, stall against that top line is going to be a key. In New York, it's going to be a little bit of an issue. That's where you really want to see Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis, and Andrei Svechnikov. Not that they didn't have moments in the first round. You want to see them play that complete two-way game where it doesn't become such an imbalance. Like, you're sitting here going, oh my gosh, we can't win this game because Jordan Staal is not on Zibanejad. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be back in that situation. And I think if you're Rod Brendamore, or you mentioned Jacob Slavin, how outstanding he was.
He was amazing.
You know, you want those top-end guys on the ice, obviously, with their top-end guys. But you also don't want to be in a situation where you're like, oh my gosh, we're in big trouble here because Brendan Smith and Ethan Bear are on the ice with Bergeron and Marchand, and boop, there goes a Boston goal. You don't want to be in that situation on the road. That, to me, is going to be the most interesting part of this series. Are there any adjustments that Rod can make in terms of making sure those guys are set up for the best success? Because we saw this in the games in Raleigh. It's as simple as this. Bergeron couldn't win the faceoff on the road. He wins the faceoff at home. They have puck possession. Again, we're not reinventing the wheel here, right? So it's going to be interesting to see what Rod can do to spark Aho. I don't think we've truly seen an outstanding playoffs yet from Sebastian Aho. And if you want to be about that life, you can't just talk about that life. You can't just have a sauna. You can't just have a big contract.
Yeah.
You got to be about that life. And Sebastian Aho, we're teetering into that neighborhood of you want to be about that life, then be about that life.
Next up.
Next up from Wallace on Twitter. Hey, Joe, how much is too much in terms of selling tickets, i.e. what is the cutoff between reasonable and gouging?
Oh, what are we talking about? Are we talking about direct ticket sales from the team?
Where's Wallace?
Or are we talking about the resale market? Mm. I mean, the resale market is what it bears out to be. I mean, we saw this with Duke and Carolina at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Nobody was dropping $50,000 on a ticket. People might be willing to drop a couple $1,000s on that particular ticket.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You said nobody. We know Jerry Seinfeld did.
You think
Jerry Seinfeld and Adam Silver definitely spent whatever the max was. That's who has it.
Yeah.
That's who has it.
Yeah. Well, okay. I see what you're saying. So my son's birthday, my younger son's birthday is Wednesday. He doesn't know Canes hockey without the playoffs. So it's become kind of a thing. Oh yeah, we'll buy you some tickets for the playoffs for your birthday. So it just happens to be that the first game of round two is Wednesday, which is his birthday. So I went on StubHub just to see what the prices were, and I was like, oh, okay. But there were still tickets available directly
through the Canes. I was going to say, they're actually cheaper.
They're actually cheaper through the Canes if you buy them directly. And I did find a pair of tickets for his birthday. I'm going to opt out of that one, and I'll just sit up in the press box, save some money if I can save myself. And here's the other reason why I got to save money, too. Because
If they keep advancing, that's...
Well, two things. One, they keep advancing. Two, I'm really proud of my son because he made a junior Canes team this weekend.
Oh.
Nobody.
Which is a good thing, except...
No, it's great.
Except...
It's really awesome. He's so hype about it. You know, this is one thing he's been saying he wants to do. I want to make a junior Canes team. So he goes, he does the tryouts this weekend. And he makes a team.
Have you checked your plate
Although,
list yet?
I'm sorry. The official language is they will offer him something. So, it's like an offer. Oh, now typically when a team is offering you something, it's in the form of, because we're offering you to join our team. Here's money. That's how we're usually talking about these things. We're going to draft you. Here's your contract. Or you're an undrafted free agent. Hey, here's a spot on the team. Here's some money. You know, base minimum. No, you see what happened was with the junior Canes, they offer you, and then they're like, yeah, you pay us. What? Now, I was warned how I might need to find a new job. Just saying.
A new one or another one? Like, because you can get a second job. Teeter, man, I'm telling you. It's a great deal right now.
You think we can turn me driving Uber into content?
Probably. But if you just wait till Stranger Things starts, everyone's going to be like, hey,
it's Murray Ballman. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do cameos as Murray Ballman.
Yes.
Maybe that's what I do. I charge that. Maybe that'll help fund the Junior Canes costs.
It's amazing. It's uncanny.
It's so expensive. So Gold and I, years ago, Adam Gold and Alec Campbell, our old producer, we used to joke around about doing Uber, but for sports takes. Like, you hit us up, we come to you, and then we give you the take. We might just have to start doing that.
Sure.
Anyway, next up.
Problem you're going to run into, though, is it's gonna balance out with gas prices.
Yeah, it's a good point. My Fit?
Yeah.
Used to be, Fit cost me a cold 20. That's it. I could walk up to the gas station, go to the guy at the kiosk and be like, here's $20, and I can fill up a tank of gas, no problem. And in the Fit, not now.
Yeah.
The Honda Fit, the whole point. Not now. Anyway, next up.
Next up from Devo on Twitter. Hey, Joe, what do you think the Canes' chances are with a sweep in the Rangers series?
I'm done with sweeps.
Okay.
I'm not saying any sweeps.
Yeah.
Of course, watch them sweep now. No. The Rangers, like you said, Julio, the Rangers and the Canes are going to play a very entertaining up and down series. I don't think it's going to go 7, but it's not going to be a sweep. Canes will win, though.
I mean, if it goes 7, Canes win, right?
I mean,
it's what happens.
Well, to that point.
It's the only thing we know.
To that point, did the series against Boston ever happen?
Well, the road team never won, so it never started.
Never started.
Yeah.
So how do you start a series that ended? Never happened. Think about that. All right, next up.
Who are these people?
Is that going to be like UNC that year? They wouldn't have made the tournament, but the tournament never happened,
yes.
So they never did
it
actually.
It never actually happened,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Next up from Billy on Twitter.
It's kind of like the time, it was the pandemic year where NC State actually ended an ACC tournament on a win.
That's true.
But didn't win a championship.
Ooh, what?
How'd that work? Anyway.
From Billy on Twitter. Hey, Joe, what new turntable should I buy? I don't have one currently. I think that's for Gilio. Is that for Gilio?
Clearly.
Yeah, Gilio, what turntable should you buy? Yeah. Look, if you're just starting out on the vinyl journey.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Audio Technica makes good, cheap turntables, good starter turntables. Don't get one of those suitcase turntables. They got needles on there that'll just mess up your records. But an Audio Technica, they even have ones with Bluetooth capability, so you can just beam that thing out to your speakers. Do that. That's my suggestion. All right, next up.
Next up from Agent of Chaotic Neutral. Hey, Joe, what does Kevin Keats have to do to save his job this season?
Bro, what are we doing? What's today's date? It's May 16th, y'all. How many months till the start of the basketball season?
Five, six.
Okay, can we wait?
November.
Can we wait?
6 months.
It's May. It's the middle of May. And we're thinking about Kevin Keats still? By the way, shout out to the people who were looking at the Carolina Hurricanes packing the building and thinking, well, this would never happen under Kevin Keats. Stop being miserable. Just stop. Take a break from being miserable.
Enjoy
and
nice
just
things.
Just enjoy the Canes' success, not thinking, man, this would be great if we could do this for state, too. Meh. Or just enjoy the Canes and then think about your misery in basketball when October gets here, okay?
It's plenty of time to worry about.
Seriously, you got so much time the rest of the year
to be mad.
You got a
whole football season, too, to make up for the last 45 years.
Yeah, no pressure. No pressure on Doran. All right, next up.
This one's also for Jillio, from David on Twitter. Hey, Joe, Phantom or Attack of the Clones? And how old does it make you feel that it's 20 years
old? So Attack of the Clones came out 20 years ago today.
Are you sure that happened?
Yeah.
Is that kind of like the Boston series?
Yeah, that happened. Attack of the Clones actually came out 20 years ago today. What's funny, there's prequel.
The only thing that happened in Attack of the Clones is the guy goes, you fool, I have been trained in the Jedi arts by Count Dooku.
Yes.
And then seven lightsabers come
you
out.
You know you love my...
That's General,
that was actually
that's
pretty
Grievous,
good Grievous.
By
that was a pretty good
General,
Grievous.
That's General Grievous.
You fool.
So two things are happening right now in the world of Star Wars.
You underestimate my power.
No, that's Revenge of the Sith.
But it's still his best one.
That's my best
one. That is your best Anakin. So two things are happening right now with Star Wars. The new Obi-Wan show, the limited series, is coming out at the end of the month.
27th.
So it's got Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen, who was Anakin Skywalker in the prequels, or at least in two of the movies, is going to be Darth Vader. I don't know how, I mean, he's in a suit, so how do you know it's Hayden Christensen? Unless it's like flashbacks, but that's neither here nor there. So that's why there's been this re-litigating of the prequels, which gets to point number two. It's been 20 freaking years since Attack of the Clones came out. Ugh. But here's what's funny. The further we get away from the prequels.
Don't do it.
And with the freshness of Rise of Skywalker still in our minds, people have actually gone out and said, the prequels weren't actually as bad as we thought they were, which is true to a point. True to a point. I think time has been kind to Phantom Menace.
Yes.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
It's got a hell of... Hey!
Did they take Jar Jar out yet or no?
Actually, you can find versions of that movie online that take him out.
Okay.
Which is funny. But still, here's the thing about Phantom Menace. One, it uses practical effects for the most part as opposed to the CGI craziness of the next two movies. Number one. Number two, pod racing and a badass lightsaber battle with Darth Maul makes up for a lot of problems with that movie.
It does.
And Liam Neeson's actually a pretty damn good actor.
Now, Liam Neeson.
He's fantastic.
Qui-Gon? There's always a bigger fish.
Yes.
It's true. So, time has actually been kind to Phantom Menace. Not joking.
Yeah.
Attack of the Clones is worse. Attack of the Clones is the worst of the prequels, number one.
It's the worst movie.
And people have been, I don't know if it's the worst movie. And then people have been like, well, you can't have like the Clone Wars stuff and all the things that are going on in the world of Star Wars without Attack of the Clones. That still doesn't mean it's a good. That doesn't mean it's a good movie.
No.
It's a terrible movie.
Big bad.
I hate sand.
Wait, I didn't think Attack of the Clones was actively.
No, it's awful.
Bad.
It was awful movie.
Wait,
it's terribly paced.
Wait, help me for a
and
second.
And then all of a sudden, you're telling me
is this the love story?
Yes.
This is where the magic baby happens.
The
Immaculate Conception?
Yes. The Immaculate Conception happens between episodes 2 and episode 3. But they spend half the movie doing sexy talk about democracy. That's real. Ooh,
That's how
you get Padme going. We talk about democracy. Mm. And then they spend most of the movie, they spend like 90% of that movie not liking each other, force like floating pears to her. And then all of a sudden at the end, she goes, I love you. Wait, what? What just happened?
Poor Natalie.
When did this happen?
Poor Natalie.
And then they get into a fight in the Clone Wars. They've begun. All right, next up.
You underestimate my power. Like we-
it's my favorite.
Next up.
That's actually all we got.
Is that it?
I think so. I don't know. What? Okay, okay, from Rand. Hey, Joe.
It got me fired up.
Hey,
on
Joe,
the
why
Wars
is Attack
stuff?
Of the Clones not the worst?
Because Rise of Skywalker exists.
I don't know, dude.
Rise of Skywalker exists.
I don't know.
That's why. That's why.
Maybe.
That's the second.
The last one, you mean, the ninth episode.
Yeah, I'm all, you guys got, I'm fired
this,
up.
Okay, but let's just talk just a second here about Obi-Wan. This is the, this was the true prequel that we all wanted. People of our generation.
No.
Oh, come
no.
now.
No. Revenge of the Sith is the prequel that everybody wanted.
Okay.
They wanted
and this is
see,
right after Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, they, so, look.
I'm saying this is the time period we wanted.
Yes.
Not like, let's go back and
nobody wanted to see Anakin Scott. Nobody wanted to see Darth Vader as a kid. Like, right. As a literal kid.
We could have accomplished that in one flashback scene.
Not even.
In Revenge of
why
the
do
Sith.
I need to see him as a kid?
Yeah.
Honestly, you don't need to see him as a kid. What's the point? Woohoo! This is pod
but
racing.
The
like,
Force,
nobody wants to
the
see
Force
that.
Awakens was a better remake of Star Wars than Phantom Menace was a better remake of
well,
Star
Phantom
Wars.
Well, Phantom Menace wasn't a remake of Star Wars. It was setting the table for all the stuff.
Okay, Joe.
I mean, I understand there was a, I understand that there was like a battle in the sky and there was, you know, all, and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a Death Star. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, well, no. Kind of, sort of. Yeah. They were Trade Federation ships that kind of looked like Death Stars, but that's neither here nor there. This is now the second time. I'm out of breath because I've had two instances that have been triggered. That have triggered me today. So like I did a radio spot with Kyle Bailey on WFNZ in Charlotte today. He wanted to talk about the Hurricanes moving on, which cool. I introduced the Charlotte market to Petey Cooch, by the way.
Oh.
They were not familiar
with... They weren't
with,
ready for it, were they?
They were not familiar with Peter Kochetkov's nickname that we gave him here on the show, Petey Cooch. So Kyle had to catch his breath.
He's coochie to others, but we've jerseyfied his name to Petey Cooch.
Which is appropriate for the series against the Rangers.
Hey. Hey, Petey.
So, for some reason, Kyle decided to ask me a question about the Panthers. And he's like, oh, do you think they did a good job on the draft? I'm like, the draft was fine. I'm more curious about this other stuff that the Panthers are doing, including a conversation with Cam Newton. Why are they talking to Cam Newton? Move on. And I got so you heard me on the phone. I was out of breath. I got so mad at the premise of Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers talking. And this is coming from somebody who has spent a considerable amount of time defending Cam Newton and telling the haters to stuff it when they talk about Cam Newton and his role with the Carolina Panthers and what happened in 2015. Cam's just not, he just physically can't do it anymore. So why would you bother bringing him back? Go get yourself a veteran quarterback who understands I'm in there for spot duty. You know, as one of our Hey Joe questions that we didn't get to, but I'll bring it up here. Is it time for Fitz magic in Carolina? Yes. I absolutely would take Ryan Fitzpatrick at this point. You know why I would take Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because he understands his role as a quarterback right now. He is a backup. He comes in, he does the job for a couple games, might help you win one, and then he turns into a big mushroom after that. Like, it just doesn't, a big hairy bearded mushroom, but that's neither here nor there. A tomato can. He goes back to just not being good, but he does what he needs to do after like for two games, and we move on. The other issue with Cam and the Carolina Panthers and why this conversation doesn't make any sense, nobody wants to see Sam Darnold. Not a soul in Charlotte wants to see Sam Darnold. They'd rather see Matt Corral at this point to see what he's got. Nobody wants to see Sam. But if you bring Cam in, I'll tell you very much what's going to happen. The minute Sam Darnold so much as looks at the wrong receiver, people will be like, put Cam back in! For what? For who? So that Cam could suck on the field too? It's just time to move on. That got me fired up. I'm fired up again!
Man.
It's time to play You're Full of It, Julio.
It's time to play You're Full of Shit, Julio. Listen, I've known Joe has been full of shit since 1975, so this is old news to me. Here's Joe Ovius with the rules, but I can already tell you, Julio is definitely full of shit, and I should know. I'm his mother.
Thank you very much, Nora. Yeah, Julio's got some things he's going to say. It's up to the listeners to call him out on some BS. We got Drew and Raleigh. Drew, what's up, man? Drew.
Hello.
Hi, Drew. Are you a transplant, Drew?
No, sir.
Oh, you're actually from around here?
Grew up in Nightdale.
How about that? All right. Well, that kind of goes against my point about this series. All right, Graham and Raleigh. Graham, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Are you a transplant, Graham?
I am from just outside of Charlotte.
See? Okay. I guess that kind of... Maybe? Maybe that is... All right. Two North Carolina people. All right. Well, maybe it's not a clash carry. Regardless, Jillio is going to say something. If you think what Jillio said is true, stay quiet. No big deal. If you think what Jillio said is false, shout out your name and Nora's going to do the rest.
You're full of s***, Jillio.
If you're right, you'll win that pair of tickets to go see Machine Gun Kelly coming to PNC Arena on Wednesday, June 22nd. If he duped you, go see the other guy. Let's play.
All right, guys. Phil Mickelson won the PGA Championship last year. That was the only time he has won that major. Would have been a good time for Nora.
You're full of s***, Jillio.
Won it in 2005 at Baltusrol. Let's try this. Tiger Woods won the PGA Championship the last time it was played at Southern Hills Country Club.
Graham.
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 You're full of s***, Jillio.
I'm not. Tiger went back-to-back 06, 07. 06 was Medina. 07 was Southern Hills. That means Drew in Raleigh. You are today's big winner. Congratulations. Enjoy the Machine Gun Kelly show. Stay on the line. Jonathan Rand gets your information. Appreciate you guys both for playing and listening.